Now I'll ask the preacher who fits the profile of Bishop, maybe I should say Bishop, to start walking this way. Now you'll see him and understand what I mean by saying the one who fits that profile. Hallelujah. And I thank God that God has given us an opportunity to hear and listen to the different pastors we have in the church. And I think that's refreshing. And the different styles, we really bless the Lord. Last Sunday, it was Pastor Mashina, the tallest pastor among us. Now we have the pastor who fits the profile of a bishop, as you can see. Hallelujah. And his name is Pastor Kiniti. His wife may be around and the children, I'll let him introduce them. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we release Pastor Kiniti into this space, a very important space, as he releases a message directly from you. And we pray, use him greatly today for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And we all say, amen. Another hand as you welcome him.
Let's appreciate Pastor Simon, our associate pastor. In the morning, in the earlier service, he referred to me as a quality assurance fellow at Paki. And now qualifying to be a bishop. He didn't say I'm a bishop, qualifying to be a bishop. So I am a fellow in the works. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Simon, for your ministry among us, for your support. We also appreciate our senior pastor who is traveling, and we bless the Lord. By the way, I received a call from the senior pastor from the U.S. this past week. So I have the experience of receiving calls from the U.S. It's a very serious experience. And now I am telling God, I want to have the experience of calling from the U.S., with the Lord all things are possible. Amen. We thank the Lord. My wife is not in the service. She was in the first service. She's right now supporting me by taking our children home and preparing to receive me at home. In fact, I think she mentioned she may even come for me. So she may come for me. She will actually come for me. Please come for me now that I've told the church, so that they don't see me taking a cab home and they are wondering, we thought she was to come. So please, babe, come for me. And in case she's not online, whoever knows her and has heard, tell her to come for me after the service. Amen. Shall we stand up as we read the word of God? The Lord has also blessed us with children. We have Njoki, our firstborn, 11. We have Nduta, our secondborn, who is 8. And then we have Nyakios. She's 3 years old. And we thank the Lord. They are such a great blessing to us. Reading the word of God from Matthew chapter 4. I think I'm done with the preliminaries. Sindio, Pastor Regan? Tuko sawa, tuingie kwa neno sasa. Matthew chapter 4, it is projected for us, but I know that version is a newer version. Let me read from this 1984 version. Verse 18, the Bible says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother, Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. Our translation there says, and I will do what? And I will send you out to fish for men. I want this translation that says, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. I don't know whether you remember that Sunday school song that we sang. Do you remember? Yes. Which song was that? Kumbe you guys were in Sunday school. Now, wait, there was something else about that song. Some people used to sit down and others stand up. Yes. Was it in your Sunday school?
Yes.
So who used to sit down? At what point? So when we say, when there is an M, the men, and when there is an F, the women, so we keep exchanging, all right? We keep exchanging. I want to be sure that Batona mepata ikitu, because we don't want confusion in the house of the Lord. So can we sing that rhyme together? Okay, let's raise the key a little bit. I will make you. Mark you, you are live on TV. You are live. Me, if you. All of you are standing, and we have an F and an F. Those in the pavilion, I hope somebody is watching, and those online. Fisher. I will make you fishers of men if you follow me. I can see some men standing and some ladies seated. Let's give the Lord a mighty hand clap as I welcome you to have your seats. Amen. That's interesting. Lakini kuna watu wangumu. This afternoon, by God's grace, we want to focus on the subject, the making of a world changer. The making of a world changer. Let me start by saying that the making of a world changer is a faith venture. World changers are made. They don't just show up. They don't just mushroom. They are made. It is a faith journey. And it is the undeterred conviction. And that's why we're talking about empowered faith, undeterred conviction. It is the undeterred conviction of world changers that separate them from the ordinary. How will you know a world changer? It's when all factors held constant, because of their conviction, they stand out. I am convinced that though I may not know what tomorrow holds, the one who is in me holds tomorrow. And therefore, I can face tomorrow with confidence, because I have a conviction that he who is in me is the one who holds tomorrow. I don't know what my children will be like in the future, but there is a conviction in me that is undeterred, that says the children of the righteous shall be mighty in the land. And so I believe somehow my children, because they are children of the righteous, your children are children of the righteous, what will help them stand out in this day and time when the world seems to be upside down in all its ways? It's because of the undeterred conviction that characterizes a world changer. I may not know where the finance bill is leading this country, because there is a finance bill. But one thing I know, there is a God in heaven who is able to hold our country and take us to the next level as a nation. The Bible says that the nation that knows their God, the nation whose the Lord is God, shall do great things. That nation shall stand. With or without the finance bill, Kenya will stand. I have a conviction. I am also convinced. I may not know where Maandamano is taking us this week. I know there are people who are worried, and there are people who have suffered even in the past week. But one thing I know is that there is a God in heaven whose name is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. And he is able to turn things around today for our country. That is the characteristic of world changers. And just speaking to our leaders, our political leaders, and say this, History has taught us there is no great nation that was made great by destruction of property or destroying itself one day at a time. Whether one day a week, whether 2 days a week, or 3 days a week, or even a full week. No nation became great by destroying itself and eating itself one day at a time. But I also want to let them know that there is no nation that was made great by chest thumping. No nation was made great by the bullet. No nation was made great by tear gas. Nations have been made great through great leadership. And what we are calling out is that men and women of great leadership to arise at a time like this in our country and be recorded in history as the men and women who led Kenya to prosperity. Those men live in Kenya. Those men live in Kenya. Those men are part of our leaders. And so as a church, we are standing and saying, may the Lord reign. I have a conviction that things will turn around for our country. Apostle Peter is the character that we are looking at this particular month. And I would say that Peter passes the test of an empowered world changer. This is a man that God used. This is a man, if today we are going to record the great men in history that turned their world upside down, Peter will be part of that list. But we also need to ask ourselves, who is this Peter? Scripture doesn't give us much about Peter. It doesn't give us what I will call a befitting profile of who Peter is. But we have a few things that we know about Peter. First of all, we know that his name was Simon Peter. He was Simon, then Jesus named him Peter. In terms of family, the Bible just mentioned somewhere, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 16, verse 17, he says that he was Peter, the son of Jonah. We have an idea that his father was Jonah or John, but we don't know beyond that, we don't know who this Jonah or John was. We also know that Peter had a brother. We don't know whether he had other siblings, but at least we know he had a brother by the name Andrew, according to scripture and the passage that we have read. But we can also have an idea that Peter was married, because we are told that at one point Jesus visited him in his house and his mother-in-law lay sick with a fever. Now tell your neighbor, where there is a mother-in-law, there is a marriage. There is either a wife or... But we don't know who the wife was. We don't know who the children were. Scanty details about this guy called Peter. Then we are told that this guy called Peter came from a place called Bethsaida, which is the west coast of the Sea of Galilee. Just a small town place. I was just telling the first service that sometime past last week, my wife and I visited some place. I don't want to give details, but we visited some place and we went to Google and, searching the way to the place. And Google recognizes the place but tells us there is no direction or way to that place. So we had to find other means of getting the way to the place. In terms of occupation, of course, we know that Peter was a fisherman. He doesn't appear to me like a great fisherman. He appears to me like a fisherman who was in this business for living, not for life. Now, there is a difference when you have to do something to live. It means if you don't do it, you don't. But there are others who have gone past the living level. So them, they do for life. Peter was not in that level. He seems to be the man who, if he doesn't catch any fish, he needs counseling. Because what will his people eat? Or he actually needs benevolence. Because really, he lives on what he catches. This is the man we are talking about. Also, in terms of education, we are told that Peter was unschooled. He was unschooled. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, when he had an opportunity to stand before the Sanhedrin, when he had an opportunity to stand before the Pharisees, they were able to discern that he was unschooled. You know, there are people you can stand before them because of their level of education or being schooled, and they are able to discern that indeed you are unschooled. The Bible says when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men. This is the man that Jesus meets by the Sea of Galilee. He's a messed up man, a man without a profile that you can write home about. But there is one thing that is outstanding about this man. And that one thing that is outstanding about him at this point is that Jesus called him. I don't know whether you got it. What makes the difference is not his profile. It is not where he comes from. It is not what he owns. It is not how schooled he was. It is the fact that Jesus called him. Jesus has called you. Jesus is calling you. You don't deserve it. You don't look like it, but Jesus is saying you. He's saying, yes, it is you. It is you I am calling today. Even as I bring this message, Jesus is calling us individually. Irregardless of our backgrounds, irregardless of what we have, Jesus is zooming down on you and is saying, come. Follow me, and I will make you. Look at that difference. Come, follow me, and I will make you. Brothers and sisters, it makes a difference who calls you. It makes a difference who calls you and invites you to walk with him. Fast forward, what do we then, out of this man, what does Jesus create out of this man through the process of making? The fearless man, or the fearful man, the man who knew only the trade of fishing men. We are told in Acts chapter 2 verse 41 that he boldly proclaimed the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ at Pentecost, and in one single day 3,000 people came to the Lord. That's what I call a world changer. He was also a performer of miracles. In chapter 3 of Acts, we see him healing a beggar, telling him, silver and gold I don't have, but in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. The fisherman who could not catch fish is now healing a beggar. This fisherman, the Bible says that he was called to a place called Joppa. And he found a woman called Dorcas who had died. And this man brought her back to life. The fisherman whom we do not know where he came from, whom we don't know his father, he is here now raising people, giving people life. He also healed a man called Aeneas in Acts chapter 9, verse 34, by simply telling him, Aeneas, rise up, Jesus heals you. World changer. And we are told in Acts chapter 5, verse 15 to 16, this man, even his shadow, was enough to heal the sick. Can you imagine you are carrying a sick person and Pastor Kiniti is passing, may that anointing come in Jesus' name. And because there is a shadow, you don't need to talk to him. You don't need to tell him what you are doing. You just need to bring the sick person. Where is that shadow? Just at his shadow and bam, healing, world changer. Jesus has made this man, not only the man himself, but even his shadow can heal people. But we are also told this Peter demonstrates empowered faith and undeterred conviction. He stands before the Sanhedrin and before these guys, the powers that be, in Acts chapter 4, verse 19 and 20. And he tells them, choose today, whom shall we obey? Is it God or is it you? Courageously, says Peter replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? Then he says, be what? Be what? Your statement ni ya kusema mtadu, you know, just be the judges. You decide for yourselves. What is right? The man who doesn't have a profile to write about, he is now saying, however, as for us, we cannot help. Can you remember this guy following Jesus at some point and a little girl said to him, you are with him. In fact, one of the passages says he actually started cursing. Akia, you know that? It is not I. But now he's saying we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. We cannot help. Something has happened in the life of this man. But then he also does, you know, he steers the church through the early church through crisis. We see the first case, a disciplinary case, where Ananias and Sapphira come before him, and that was a disciplinary case. Unfortunately, they died. We also see him leading through a conflict situation, the Hellenistic and the Hebraic Jews in Acts chapter 6. We see Peter leading the church through a time of persecution when Stephen is stoned in Acts chapter 7. We also see him leading the church through a time of doctrinal distress. The Council of Jerusalem in Acts chapter 15. We also see Peter taking the gospel to the nations in Acts chapter 10. Indeed, Peter is a world changer. But what has happened to Peter? The Peter we meet at the Sea of Galilee. What has happened to him so that all these things I have mentioned can now be on his name? Brothers and sisters, I submit to us that Jesus had invited Peter to a making. And Jesus is inviting you and I to a making. And when we respond to him and allow him to make us, he transforms us into great things, into great people. What is this making about? This making is about faith. And number one, this faith is the faith that responds to the master's call. If God is going to make you anything, if you are going to amount to anything as far as the kingdom is concerned, you must have a faith that responds to the master's call. The Bible says faith comes by hearing. It comes by hearing. And as you hear, as you listen, you must respond to this call of the master. And there are two types of calls that I want to mention very quickly. Number one, it is the initial call, which is the call of salvation. When Jesus meets Peter, the first thing he says to Peter is, come. And I want to submit to us that there were so many other people at the shore at that particular moment. So Peter was not outstanding in any way. But God graciously picks him out and says, Peter, come, follow me. And then the Bible says that immediately he responded to Jesus' call. He did not ask for the direction. He did not ask, where are you taking me? He just responded to this call and started following Jesus. And that is what I'm calling the salvation call. You can never become a world changer until you become a child of God. Because it is about impact. It is not about what you know and what you have. It is about who you are. Who you are will impact the world. So Peter responds to this call, come follow me. And in Acts chapter 15 verse 11, he says, now we believe that it is through the grace of God that we are saved. There is nothing. I didn't deserve anything. Jesus just called me. I remember the day I got born again. I was in church. My mother brought me up in church. My grandmother brought me up in church. I was good in Sunday school, reciting Bible verses and participating and singing and jumping and thinking that I'm going to heaven, until Jesus called me and said, come, follow me. The things I had been doing were not a following of Jesus. I start following Jesus the moment I accept the call to follow him. But not only are we going to be formed or made into world changers by responding to the first call, but we are going to be made world changers by responding to the daily call. There is an initial call unto salvation, and some of us have already responded to that call. Some of us under my voice have not yet responded to that call. But let me speak to those who have already responded to the call of salvation. It does not end there. It starts there. Now, Jesus calls us to a daily response to his call. And that's why Peter, after responding to Jesus and following him, we see at least two events. There are more than that, but at least two events. One time Peter has been trying to catch fish and they have caught nothing. He has done everything he could do as an expert fisherman, and they have caught literally nothing. And then Jesus tells him, launch into the deep for a catch. Peter would have said, Jesus, was it not enough for me to follow you? Now, between me and you, who knows this business of fishing? First of all, Jesus, I need to remind you, by the way, you are a carpenter. The best you can do is make a boat. When it comes to fishing, hiyo mimi ni wachie. He seems to have thought that way in his head. But then he told Jesus, we have caught nothing, but because it is your call, because it is your word, now I am not casting the net based on my expertise. I am not casting the nets based on my experience. I am not casting the nets based on my capacity. I am now casting the net based on your call. And the Bible says, when he responded to that call, they caught fish. Praise the Lord. You know, there are things that have not happened to your life because Jesus has just said, cast the net. And you told him, you know, when you look at this theory and this theory, 1 + 1 is not adding up to 2. But Jesus is saying, today, 1 + 1 is going to be 3 because I have made the call. Daily call of responding. But secondly, we see Peter. He is in the boat with the rest of the disciples. And the boat has already gone deeper into the ocean, into the sea. And then they see a ghost walking towards them. That's what the Bible says. They saw an image and they thought it was a ghost. And they were frightened. They were afraid. Probably they started casting out the demon. Don't come close to us, demon. We tell you, you ghost, don't come. But it kept coming. It kept coming. Then Jesus said, don't be afraid. Jesus is making a call. Jesus is saying, don't be afraid. Some of the things that you are seeing are frightening, but Jesus is saying, don't be afraid. It is I am in charge. I am the one who is calling the shots here. Then Peter said, oh, no, we have to confirm this thing. If it is you, you called me the first time and I followed you, but now, if it is you, call me and I will walk on water. And Jesus said, come. Because of responding to Jesus' call daily, we only know of 2 men who walked on water. Who and who? Jesus and? There are extraordinary things that will happen in your life if you respond to the call of Jesus every day. on a daily basis. There are things that will change today. If you tell him, Jesus, I have been struggling with this, but you have called me and I am responding to this call. You know, the tragedy of us as believers not impacting is because, yes, we got born again. We responded to the first call, but we have stopped responding to the daily call. The daily call is the call of making. Bwana Yesu asifiwe. It's the call of making. But secondly, not only do we need a faith that responds to the call, we also need a faith that follows the master's footsteps. A faith that follows the master's footsteps. The Bible tells us in verse 20 that when Jesus said, "Come and follow me," the Bible says that at once, immediately, without hesitation, they left their nets and followed him. The faith that is making us into world changers and people who will impact wherever we are is the faith that follows after the footsteps of Jesus. I also want you to notice that Jesus did not tell Peter, "Come follow me and I will make you a banker. Come follow me and I will make you an accountant. Come follow me and I will make you a nurse." He told him, "Come follow me and I will make you a fisher of men." God wants to use wherever you are and transform it as your mission ground. God is saying, "You banker, come follow me. I make you a banker for the kingdom." He's saying, "You accountant, come follow me. I make you an accountant who not only balances the debits and the credits, but one who impacts the world." God is calling you in the medical field and he's saying, "I am calling you to follow me as a doctor." God is not telling you to leave being a doctor or a teacher and become a street preacher. No, that is not the way to change the world. There are those who have been called for that business. God has called you as a businessman, as a businesswoman, to change the paradigm of doing business in our country. That is what we call impact. So what do you need to do? All you need to do is follow after the footsteps of the master. We see Peter following immediately, leaving everything, embracing the cost of following Jesus. But we also see him following consistently. Peter is one guy who was everywhere where the real action as far as Jesus is concerned was happening. He was there. He was this one guy who was with Jesus at all times. And for that, he actually experienced much more than the rest of the disciples. This is the guy who experiences Jesus being at the Mount of Transfiguration. And he says, "Oh, this place is good, Jesus. Wachana na watu wako huko chini. Can we just dwell here? This is the place to be." Peter, because he followed. This is the same guy who experienced and was a witness of everything that they did to Jesus all the way to the cross. And so I'm saying, not only are we going to follow Jesus, if we are going to be made into world changers, not only are we going to follow Jesus when he's multiplying bread and multiplying fish, when he's causing us to walk on water, and when he's causing us to make, you know, to make big profits, but we are also going to follow Jesus even to the cross. Because it is at the cross where great transformation takes place. Have you ever been to the cross? It is at the cross that the things that we carry that will not lead us to achieve what God wants us to achieve, that is where they are left. No wonder the song says, "Ah, the cross, ah, the cross, where I fall, so the light, And the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Are you carrying a burden? The footsteps of Jesus lead us to the cross, and there, burdens are lifted. Are you without joy? Are you not seeing very clearly? Are you seeing in a blurry way? Right there at the cross, there is a clarity of sight. How many times do we follow Jesus to the place of the cross? Many of us will follow Jesus at the place of miracles. Many of us will follow Jesus at the place of bread. Do you remember Jesus speaking to these guys and telling them, I know why you are following me? Because the bread they had eaten, oh my goodness, it was heavenly bread. They had never tasted such bread. For that reason, they said, perhaps he may turn again and say, more bread. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, the place of a world changer is following Jesus, even at the cross.
Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near.
We want to follow Jesus, because there our lives are made lighter so that we can impact. You know, it is very difficult to impact the world when you are carrying burdens on your shoulders. Some of us are carrying burdens of bitterness. You even feel ridiculous when you tell somebody, I love you. It feels strange. Because of the things that we are carrying. I am inviting us. Some of us are carrying burdens of attitude. Some of us are carrying burdens of pride. We are so full of ourselves. We cannot change the world. We cannot become world changers. Some of us are carrying burdens of the past. And you're asking, do you know what they did to me? Even in our families, yes, we have already responded to the first call. We are born again, but we are saying, do you know what they did to me? One lady went for baptism and was asked catechism questions. And one of the questions, if I recall well, she was asked, who is your number one enemy? Something like that. And she thought for a moment. She had gone through catechism, what we call baptism class. And then she thought for a moment and she said, do you know Mama so-and-so? Hey, she's about to be baptized. Mimi, that woman. Burden. Coming with it to the waters of baptism. Jesus is saying, I'm inviting you, my footsteps. Yes, they lead to the cross, but the cross is the place of making for a world changer. Where we are standing today as a nation, we just need our leaders to go to the place of the cross and say, Jesus, you have said that we love one another. You have said that we forgive one another. But you listen every day. What are they saying? Do you know what those guys did? They did to us. Now it is our time to do for them. And we are doing for each other. In the process of doing for each other, we are not going to transform our nation. Kenya must come to the place of the cross. Because at the cross, ethnic boundaries and burdens are broken and lifted. And we see each other as Kenyans. Burdens of political parties are lifted. And we see each other as Kenyans. And there we embrace one another and change our nation.
Our economy is a very promising economy. It only needs people to come to the place of making. Because when we are made, corruption will be the thing of the past. Each one of us will want to do clean business. Each one of us will want to do, you know, everything that causes multiplication, not everything that drains from the economy. That's where we are. And you know, sometimes we think that world changing is only about telling people to come to Christ. World changing is where you are saying, as long as I am in this office, something called cutting the corners in this office, as long as I am here, it can only happen when I'm not here. When we have men and women who have followed Jesus to the cross, they will say, if you want to take my job, take it. If you want to take my appointment, take it. If you want to take the big car that I am driven around with, take it. If you want to take the armed escorts, take it. But one thing I know is that as long as I am here, I am following after Jesus' footsteps to the cross. Because that is where world changing is happening. And I pray that this doesn't happen in church. I'm saying I pray. I pray that it doesn't happen in church. That the people I'm speaking to who engage with church, they are men and women who are saying we are following after the footsteps of Jesus. Otherwise, our preaching will be in vain. Because we cannot impact by what we are not. We can only impact by who we are. A faith that responds, and God is making great people here. God is lifting great men and women here. God is raising, you don't seem to believe it, God is raising great men and women here for the kingdom. Men and women of impact who will cause a transformation wherever they are, because they are following after the footsteps of Christ. But finally, not only is it a faith that responds, not only is it a faith that follows, but it is also a faith that fashions after the master's molding. We see Jesus ministering to the life of Peter in various ways. One way Jesus ministers to the life of Peter, in John chapter 21, verse 12 and 13, together with the rest of the disciples, he prepared a breakfast for them. We see Jesus visiting Peter and healing his mother-in-law in Matthew chapter 8, verse 14 and 15. You know, Jesus' ministry to you, and each one of us needs Jesus' ministry. It is so that you are positioned to impact the world. Why has Jesus favored you? Is so that you can impact the world. Why is Jesus healing you? Is so that your testimony can be a healing testimony to the world. Why is Jesus providing the resources that he's providing for you? Is so that your testimony can be a testimony of hope for the world. Why is Jesus expanding your business? It's so that under that business, many other people will feed from it, because you are a world changer. Why is Jesus raising you in that ladder at your place of work? You just came in the other day, you have been promoted, and even right now, they are considering promoting you again. Now, you didn't hear me. I said right now, they are considering promoting you again. They are doing that because God is positioning you as a world changer. It is not simply for Facebook status update. It is so that where God places you, you can impact the world. I am glad that God is opening doors for our young people, and I like what Pastor Simon said, The lady who was here, God is expanding her so that she can come back and many other young ladies can ride on her shoulders because God is making her a world changer. In the first service, we had a young man. So there is hope for the young men of Africa. God is raising them so that they can be in a place where they will minister great opportunities for the youth. Not only did Jesus minister to him, and I am concluding, but also Jesus rebuked Peter. Jesus rebuked Peter. Many times we don't like being rebuked, yet rebuke is part of the making. Most of the times, we love good reports about ourselves, don't we? Yeah, you love being told that was good. You love being told that was excellent. Here in Parklands Baptist Church, we do something called evaluation. What is it called, Pastor Riggs? There is an evaluation we do. Appraisal, yes. And it has levels. It says, met expectations, below expectations, exceeded expectations. Was there another one? Approaching, yes. There is another one that says approaching. When you are given approaching by your supervisor, and I am one of the supervisors, and I am also supervised, my supervisor is here. When he says you are approaching, you go pray for him at home. Because you want him to say exceeding. Now my supervisor knows what I want him to say. You want him to say exceeding expectation. But let me tell you, brothers and sisters, not meeting expectation is a making mark. It is a mark that says you are in the making. Some of us have not met expectations in our marriages, but if we surrender ourselves to Jesus, we are in the making. Bwana Yesu asifiwe. Some of us are not meeting expectations. We are maybe approaching expectations in our careers, but let me tell you, that is a mark of making. Now, Jesus rebuked Peter, and his mark was this: get behind me, Satan. Which one is that? He told him, get behind me, Satan. Because Peter was not comprehending the will of God upon Jesus and its impact to the world. And Jesus had to rebuke him. Later on, we see this same Peter saying, that Jesus you crucified, God has raised him, and he is the savior of the world. Peter could never have said such words unless Jesus had rebuked him and said, get behind me, Satan. Not only did Jesus rebuke him, but he also taught him. He taught him servant leadership. In John 13, verse 1 to 17, Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. And when he came to Peter, this is what Peter said: you will never wash my feet. That was not a statement of humility. It was a statement of pride. Because whose responsibility was it to wash the feet of guests? It was the servant, and not just the servant, the lowest of servants. And Peter is saying, no, Jesus, because I know probably you will tell me I should be doing this. No, I can't do the work of a servant. But unless Jesus teaches us to be servants, we can never become world changers. Because this world is crying for servant leadership. This world is not crying for positional leadership. It is crying for servant leadership. The people who will wash the feet of others and give them dignity. That is the leadership the world is looking for. It is not the leadership of titles. Titles are good. You've already heard, I am on the way to the bishop title. They are good. But unless I learn to wash the feet of Pastor Simon, and I learn to wash the feet of that other person, I will not impact the world. Then Peter said, okay, sawa, umeamua tuweke hiyo gear, haya, tuende pamoja. You want us to go like that, eh? Jesus, now let me tell you, Jesus, something you don't know. Not only are you washing my feet, wash my body as well. Si hivyo ndio umeamua? Sikuizi tunasema hivyo ndio umeamua tukacheze, eh? Haya, tukacheze hivyo basi. Wash also my... Jesus takes another opportunity to tell him, Peter, what is wrong with you? The people who have already taken a shower, all they need is to wash their feet. And then he tells him, the word that I have spoken to you has already made you clean. Praise the Lord. Taught. But finally, Jesus did something else besides teaching him. Jesus restored Peter. You remember Peter had left and gone to fish? Jesus calls him. And Jesus is calling some of us today. He's saying, I want to restore you. I want to restore you. Jesus is saying to some of us, I want to restore your businesses. Jesus is saying to some of us, I want to restore your dignity. I want to restore your family. I want to restore your marriage because I want to use you. I want to restore your children because I want to use you as a world changer. I have some good news for you, my brother and my sister. You may have given up on yourself. People may have given up on you. Jesus has not yet given up on you. If anything, he's saying, I want to restore you. That's what Jesus is saying. We are clay in the potter's hands. Let us allow him to mold us. Brothers and sisters, we shall not change the world merely by what we know or not. We shall not even change the world merely by what we have or what we don't have. We shall change the world by who we are. The Bible says that you shall know them by their fruit. And the question that we need to ask ourselves today is this: who are you? Who am I? Some of us are very knowledgeable, even in scripture, preaching it powerfully. But the elephant in the room is this: who are you? Who are you? Some of us are occupying positions of great influence, but the question is, who are you? Some of us are wealthy and materially, but the question is, who are we? Some of us are eloquent, but the question is, who are you? That is the question we need to carry home with us. Some of us are holding and carry with us very honorable titles, but the question is, who are you? And I was sharing in the morning, some of our titles as pastors here are very serious titles. When we go out there and we are asked, so what are you at Parklands Baptist Church? What is your title? And I tell them, I am the maturity pastor. Maturity pastor. It's nowhere else. It's only in Parklands Baptist Church. And I feel maturity. But even as maturity pastor, the question lingers, who am I? Because who I am is what will impact and change the world. It is not the title that you have given me. It is who I am. And earlier I said, as a church in the morning, we have powerful leadership organs in this church. And many of us probably desire to be part of those organs. We have the pastors and deacons board. I am a member there. Honorable member. But the question, Daktari, we need to ask ourselves as a board is, who collectively and individually are we? Are we still listening to the voice of the Lord daily? Those of us who are in that team, we've already responded to the first call. We are born again, all of us. But the question is, are we listening to the Lord daily? The Lord may have said something in January, but what is he saying in July? Are we still holding on to what he said in January? We have another board called the Church Council. Church Council, led by our able moderator. Madam Moderator, it's a question of, and that seats very powerful men and women. They are the chairmen. Very powerful people. But the question is, Madam Moderator, We are asking ourselves, who are we individually and collectively? That is the take home. Are we listening to Jesus daily? Or are we holding on to what he told us in January? Brothers and sisters, we are in July. What is Jesus saying now? Then we have another one led by our sister, Madam Betty. The BOT. Board of Trustees. Very wonderful people serving there. But Betty, the question we are asking ourselves today, what is God telling us? If Parklands Baptist Church is going to impact the world today as world changers, we must listen to the Lord now. What he's saying now. But there is also another body. There is one called the members. That body says we are the members. We are the members. Members. And I have the register. I keep the register. Members, Parklands Baptist Church stands at the door of transforming the world. The difference is, who are you as members? The Lord may have spoken in January, but the Lord is saying something today. And the same applies to our homes, to our marriages, to our businesses, and to our country. Peter became what he became because Peter was mad. He responded. He lived a responsive life. He followed the right footsteps, but he was also fashioned after the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we stand? And as we stand up, we want to take a moment. We are all candidates for the making. We are all candidates for the making. The making of a world changer. But it begins by, first of all, responding to the first call. And the question is, have you responded to the invitation of Jesus Christ that he may come into your life as your Lord and Savior? If you haven't done that, you are yet to start the journey of being made a world changer. That's where it begins. And the call is very simple. The Bible says, I stand at the door and I knock. Whoever opens, I will come in. Jesus said to Peter, come. And Peter followed. Jesus is speaking to you online, those who are at the pavilion, those who are here. Jesus is speaking to you. He's saying, come. So as we pray, those of us who have already answered the first call, I want you to take a moment to pray for yourself and ask the Lord, am I following you daily? Am I responding to the daily call? Are there areas you need to tell the Lord, I want to respond daily? Are you following after his footsteps? Are you allowing yourself to be fashioned as he shapes you? Are you allowing him? But I will pray for anybody who is saying, I have never answered the first call of accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I want to pray with you. And so I want to invite you today, if you are here in our service, in the main sanctuary, I want to invite you that as we sing briefly, come to the front. I want to pray with you so that you can respond to that first call. Those who are at the pavilion, we have our leaders there. I request the deacon or the pastor who is there, please stand to the front so that anybody who is at the pavilion can come where you are and you pray with them, so that they can respond to this call. Those who are online, please let us know. Our team here, just let us know in the comment section. Our team here will reach out to you so that today doesn't pass before you respond to that first call. Take a moment to pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Bwana Mungu nakuomba.
Hallelujah. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Somebody who wants to give their life to Christ, come. Come. Somebody who wants to respond to that first call, I'm inviting you to come. Come. Somebody who is saying, Jesus, I have never accepted that first call. Because it is that first call that puts you on a journey that leads you to become a world changer. Please come. Come to the front. Come up here. Come up here. You are saying, I want today. I want today. Please stand there. I want today. You are saying, I have never responded. Deacon Gakunju, kindly join me. I have never responded. I have never responded. And you are saying, I want to respond. That is where it all begins. Those at the pavilion, please, there is one of our leaders already at the front. I am saying that by faith. Please just walk to where he is and he will lead you to Christ. Let me request you, Dr. Gakunju, if you can minister to those two, just lead them to Jesus as I turn to pray for us and dismiss us in Jesus' name. Maybe Deacon Caleb, you can pick one. Deacon Caleb, pick one. Lead them to Christ. Lead them to respond to the call today in Jesus' name. Anyone else who is saying, I have never responded to the first call. That is where it begins. And when you respond to that first call, Jesus is going to do the rest because he's a miracle worker. And today these two are responding to that first call in Jesus' mighty name. Those who are online, let us know if you're online, Pastor Regan. I know you're able to interact with that platform. If there is anybody, Pastor Regan will reach out to you and we want you to accept that first call. Because that first call sets you on a path that will make you and transform your life into a world changer. Is there any other person who is coming before I bring this to a close? We are just about to end our service in Jesus' name. Sorry, we have taken a bit of time, but let's just come to an end with this. Anybody else?
Unifanye kuwa kama upendavyo. Nifinyange, nifinyange.
One more is coming to the Lord in Jesus' name. Answering that first call in Jesus' name.
Unifanye kuwa kama upendavyo.
Nifinyange,
nifinyange.
Somebody is asking the Lord to mold you, to fashion you after him in Jesus' name.
Unifanye kuwa kama upendavyo.
Nifinyange,
nifinyange.
Father in heaven, indeed we thank you. Thank you for speaking to us this afternoon. We thank you that we all qualify to be candidates of your making, because there is nothing special we require to have. We only require to hear and respond. And today we've heard your word. Father, may you help us to respond to that word so that we can get into that journey of being made into world changers. As a church, we also submit ourselves to you. The leadership of this church, all of us as a congregation, we submit ourselves to you. Jesus, we want to respond on that day, to that daily call. We want to follow after your footsteps. But yes, we want to allow ourselves to be fashioned after your molding, so that as a church, this is a gateway to the impact of Africa and the world. that, Lord, we shall be well positioned to impact the world changes. So we thank you for your word today. This week, I commit your people into your hands. We commit our nation into your hands. And Lord, we have undeterred conviction that you are turning things around for our country. In the name of Jesus, we are walking into a week with uncertainty, but we are also walking into this week with conviction that, Lord, you can turn things around tonight. Tonight we can receive good news in Jesus' mighty name. We can receive good news tomorrow. We can receive good news on Tuesday. We can receive good news on Wednesday. We can receive good news on Thursday. We can receive good news on Wednesday and Friday. We can receive good news on Saturday. Indeed, on Sunday, we are coming with a great testimony of what the Lord has done. Because you are mighty and there is none like you. We surrender to you because we have prayed in Jesus' name. And God's people say, amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord give you peace. And indeed, in this week, may the Lord protect each one of you and everything that belongs to you. May you come back with a testimony in the name of Jesus. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. God bless you.